Well, good evening, and I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. How could it not be after that rip, snort, and joy to the world, dear? That was awesome. That made me want to sing as loud as I could. It's so good to be here with all of you here at First Congregational on this Christmas Eve. My wife, Ann, and I are glad to be here, to be with you and worship the Lord. It's an added blessing to be able to share in the Word with you here tonight, be with Ann's mom, my mother-in-law. Glad our son could be here, who almost didn't make it. As we were traveling here yesterday, we had a stop the night before at Ann's brother's place. En route, in the middle of Pennsylvania, we hear from our son who had to take a final exam yesterday morning. My connecting flight's been canceled out of Newark, and the flight to Newark's delayed. And we're like, what? And so then we get a little text message later on saying, not only that, but the light rail to the airport's been blocked by protesters. There's some protests going on in Minneapolis yesterday. The buses couldn't get through the line. The cops were shutting everything down. And his flight was getting delayed. And in the end, it actually worked out well because we were able just to go pick him up in Newark last night. We got in kind of early this morning and just skipped the second flight. And if his flight hadn't have been delayed, he couldn't have made it down to the airport in time because of the protesters. Lots of things were going on. Meanwhile, though, my experience of it was Christmas travel trauma. And I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that, but as I'm kind of stewing along driving on the 80 tollway, I'm reminded, it wasn't me, it was the Spirit of God, really, of the message prep that I had been a part of for tonight's message. Looking at the short verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, that says this, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." We're going to look at that here tonight in this brief Christmas Eve message. Mary's Christmas travel was also traumatic, if you read your Bibles. And God had an agenda for me yesterday on the way here, far more than my own preparations for the message. She had a preparation in my heart to do as I was driving in Pennsylvania, not knowing if we're even going to be able to see our son until after Christmas. His flight got rescheduled for late Christmas Day night. It worked out in the end, and God said, "Todd, come on. I'm sovereign. I'm in control. You're going to rest in me, or you're going to try to work things out yourself?" And that's really what I want to look at tonight, especially as we look at this character, Mary, in the Christmas narrative. Luke 2:19, one verse. "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." What a far different response than I had to Christmas travel trauma. And really, can you imagine a more traumatic position for a young woman to be in than Mary? And I mean, we think our Christmas preps are tough, let alone travel. Here's a young woman, most likely yet in her teens, who had to survive an apparent scandal of being pregnant before the actual wedding ceremony happened. And her fiancé was not the father, admittedly by her own testimony. She had to negotiate the relationships with her fiancé, with his family, with her mother and father, preparing for a wedding that couldn't come fast enough. And then her own self and all of the nation of Israel living in a country mercilessly ruled by an occupying foreign power, who are now going to force her fiancé and her to have to travel to his ancestral town of Bethlehem to be counted so that they could be what? Taxed. Things get compounded. Makes our own Christmas trauma seem a little less severe, doesn't it? And that added into this, somehow Mary, and it's probably more likely her fiancé and his fiancé's family, felt it was appropriate for her to travel with him to Bethlehem, these 70 miles on the back of a donkey, a pregnant woman about to give birth riding a donkey for 70 miles. And then fiancé, didn't make reservations in advance in his own ancestral hometown. Don't know what his family relationships were like, but come on, Joseph, really? Not even a place to stay overnight, let alone for your wife to probably give birth? So I've entitled tonight's message, "The Hopes and Fears of All the Years Are Met." It's a line, yeah, from O Little Town of Bethlehem. But it's hard to imagine a more traumatic intersection of fear and of hope in the life of a young woman named Mary. Fear of an unplanned pregnancy, a threatened marriage, vulnerable physical state, living as an oppressed people under a cruel occupying power, and now coupled with all the hopes that come with the arrival of a newborn child. Hopes and fears, the intersection therein. Please allow me just to speak a little personally here to you as a congregation here tonight. And let me attend just a little bit to our own elephant in the room. Not elephant in our nativity, but elephant in the room. The reality that for the first time in 25 years, it's not Pastor Norm Coop who's bringing you the Christmas Eve message tonight. You as a congregation are in a season of loss and of change. A mix, if you will, of challenges and opportunities, enjoying a Christmas season with a message of hope for all of humankind, and yet also the sorrow and loss as a congregation of your shepherd for 25 years. So even as we are here tonight, how are your hearts? May I encourage you to bring your sorrows to God. He knows the loss you've experienced, and may I also encourage you to bring your hopes to the Lord. For indeed, God still has a plan for you. I mean, this illustration is even personal for me, because I stand here with you on this very Christmas Eve with a mix of hopes and fears coming together, celebrating Christmas with family. It's a real treat to be here with you tonight. Is an added blessing. And yet I'm reminded of two very important men who used to live right here in Woodstock, no longer here. The first for me also is Norm, with whom I had a deep and abiding friendship, really more like a brother. And I too, along with you, miss him deeply, maybe even more acutely for some of us on a night like tonight. Second loss of a person is my father-in-law, Roy, Margaret's husband, my wife's father, who was a part of First Congregational here in the latter years of his life, and 10 years ago now had passed away. And yet, for so many of you, I bet you each of you would have your own story of loss, or of suffering, or of anxiety, or fear, past or maybe even present. And will you then allow me to encourage you to let your fears also be met with hope? For in our reality, for all of us, where do we find this hope? I got to say, it's not going to be within ourselves, our own resources. It's certainly not within our own circumstances. If we are to find hope, just as Mary needed to find hope amidst all of the fears for which she had very real reason to have trepidation, she had to look outside of herself, beyond her circumstances, and look to her God. Isn't Mary's response in the midst of the Christmas story at the tail end of the shepherd's episode that we had read to us earlier tonight, isn't that remarkable? But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What was Mary pondering? Maybe better put, where was she focused upon? It was beyond her circumstances, and she was looking to her God. This vulnerable, powerless person in the center of that first Christmas was able to respond amidst all that was going on around about her. But she had a heart that treasured all that occurred and would ponder, reflect on what was happening. And I believe that came out of a predisposition of her heart, which was revealed earlier. When her response, recorded in the scriptures, also just back a chapter in Luke 1, when she first learned of her unplanned pregnancy, listen to her response from Luke 1, beginning at verse 46. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord! How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He took notice of His lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and He has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear Him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He's helped His servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For He made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Notice, who is the focus of Mary's heart upon? It's not upon herself. It's not upon her circumstances. It's upon her God and what He has done, is doing, and has promised to do. It's not the type of prayer I would expect from a teen mother with an unplanned pregnancy. Mary's prayer of response demonstrates a heart that had already set its sense of security or of provision or life expectation upon the promises of a sovereign God who indeed does keep His word and makes good on every promise He makes. Friends, that is God's gospel news for you and for me. And in light of that hope that's held out to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, do we let that meet us where we are at with our fears, our trepidations? Is this the predisposition of our own life and heart, that when things like even something like Christmas travel trauma occurs, I need God's word to invade my own heart and mindset and recalibrate the focus of my day and the direction of my life upon God's truth and the promises that He has made? Is this the disposition of your heart? Is this the default value of the direction of your life, to know that God does indeed keep His word, comes through on His promise, even if they might seem far off or overshadowed by circumstance? So tonight, I don't know, perhaps someone here tonight needs to hear these words. These words that come to us at Christmas: Emmanuel, God with us. Friend, God is with you in the midst of what you're going through right now. God knows. He cares. And He's there for you. Will you look to Him? Be embraced by His promise and carried through His faithfulness. God is with you and me, even in the midst of our pain, our loss, our doubt. You are not alone. And the revelation of all your hopes and the answer to all of your fears are indeed met in Jesus, this Christ child, who would grow up and as a man live the life that you and I can't seem to live. Die the death He didn't deserve, but each of us deserve because of our own sin. And then defeat death, sin, and Satan on the cross and be vindicated and raised in a glorified body, who is now ascended, sent His Spirit, given us His church, and will one day come again. This is the Christ child in our mangers and our nativity scenes. This is who He is today, and He is coming again. You see, once our hearts and minds are set upon Christ as the source of our hope, the one who quells our fears. Then also we, like Mary, in the midst of whatever goes on, can treasure up all these things and ponder them in our heart. And in that kind of a posture, then the words of this familiar Christmas carol will ring true in our hearts and throughout our lives. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. This Christmas, remember this truth. The hopes and fears of all your years are met in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our God and Father, by the working of your word and spirit, draw us to Jesus, your Son. Lord Jesus, draw us to your manger, and may we also know that what follows is a cross and also an empty tomb. Spirit of God, speak to each of our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Lead us into your truth. Recalibrate our hearts to be set upon you. And even for some of us here tonight, the direction of our life, may we turn from going our own way and turn to the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah. And I pray this in his precious name. Amen.